This sermon is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor Tony Cahoot.
Well, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 9, and we're about ready to close out this chapter. In Revelation chapter 9, I want to go back and read verse 20 as we close out verse number 21. There's a couple of things that I want to bring to your attention that maybe you've never noticed before. And that's one of my goals as well in the Bible study, to bring things out and beyond what you just read in print. If we just read these scriptures and they go over our head, then sometimes we can walk away from a treasure chest with nothing because we don't apply ourselves. So I pray that you get something out of this tonight. I think there's a mountain of things in verse number 21, and we'll see here in just a minute. Well, let's go back to verse 20. John the Revelator writing, as he says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols and gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk." John emphasizes the ignorance in these people who remain blind. And so our verse tonight as we close out chapter 9 is this: "Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." So let's talk about this, and we'll look at verse 20 and 21 here in just a moment. Now, I want you to look at verse number 20 again, because it contains some important things. I made a special notation of the particular sins that these people in this tribulation period were committing, and they were firmly committed not to repent of these specific sins. And John mentions them. If you go back and look at verse number 20, he's talking about the sin of pride. He's talking about works of their hands. Notice that, "yet repented not of the works of their hands." And then he went as far as to say this, that they worshiped devils. This is sin number two. They worshiped devils. Imagine that. And then if you look closely and carefully, the Bible says that they were involved with sorceries. They were idolaters. Verse 21 says that they were murderers. And also they committed fornication and they were thieves. So when you look at this, there were seven dominating sins that had so occupied their lives, and they had become so entangled with it, and they were so addicted to it that they chose not to repent. And these, obviously, you know, and I know, there's severe types of sins. And now, when you think about this, at the time that all of this was happening, the sixth trumpet is sounding. And by the way, let me emphasize that at this point, the Holy Spirit is taken out of the earth. The Holy Spirit is taken out with the church. Brother David read an interesting scripture here just a moment ago. When he closed out the book of Judges, the word said in that last verse he read, "And men did what they thought was right, what they lived by, what governed them." The key of that is in their own eyes. They did what was right in their own eyes, which means this: because there were no kings and governors that laid down the law, every man just did what he wanted to do. And if anybody crossed his line, who knows what consequence took place. But everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Now, I compare that to this point. And that is when the Holy Spirit is taken out of this earth with the church. You see, the Holy Spirit's not just floating around. Here's what we have to remember. The Holy Spirit is not a mere influence. We have to remember that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is a very real divine person. When we get saved and we invite Christ into our hearts, according to the Word of God, we have become indwelt with the Spirit. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is where He lives. Our body as a believer is His habitation, is His temple. And so, because when the rapture takes place and the trumpet sounds and the church, the bride of Christ, is raptured out, we will take with us the Holy Spirit. So the thing is this, when the Holy Spirit is taken out, imagine a world today. Imagine this earth without a restrainer. When you think about this, I believe that the dominating factor that this world has not done in modern day history, what Brother David just read in the closing part of Judges, the reason why this world, now the world is close, very close to going insane, very close. But God has always have, He's always had a remnant. That means this, that He has always had a small group of people. Now, when you compare Christianity to the world at large today, we are a very small number. When you compare it to all the faiths and ideologies and everything down the highway, we're very small in number compared to the world. But I will tell you, in the small number, there is a restraining force within us as believers, the bride and the church, that I believe from serious-minded believers who fervently pray, and we all believe, I believe tonight and here, we believe in the power of prayer. We do. We believe it. We believe that our faith, and we're going to see this in the Gospel of John, we're going to see this in our further study, but the faith that we have, even if it's a grain of a mustard seed, when the Word says, speak to the mountain and it'll be thou removed, it's not talking about monuments and rocks. You may not understand that scripture in its fullest, but I will tell you tonight, to simplify, because I've got much to say here about this subject, our faith is important, and we believe in a God who is alive and well. We believe that He is omnipotent, He's omnipresent, He's omniscient. We believe that there's nothing any more powerful than God. And we believe that He is the supreme being. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the second person of the Godhead, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. The scripture says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. We believe in this. Imagine when this remnant who represents the bride on the day of the rapture, when the trumpet sounds, and we are raptured out, we're taking the Holy Spirit with us. Imagine this earth without a restrainer. Think about what's going on in the world today, and we can't hardly believe what we're seeing with our own eyes. Every morning I get ready to leave for the office and come down here, and I try to get up to date on world current events. And I will tell you, I just cannot believe the insanities that go on in this world. And one thing, I hate to get going with this because once I get started with it, it's hard for me to get it back on track. But listen to this. They find these people who are committing these crimes in broad daylight on television. They take them downtown for a few hours and turn them loose. And then they end up killing people. That's what I'm talking about. This world is insane. And things like that, when you compound it and multiply it, when the church is gone and the restrainer is gone, think about, as Brother David read, men did what was right in their own eyes. Okay. Now, verse 21, we see that they are still unrepentant. Now, that leads me to this subject. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They're still unrepentant. Now, let me say this, and you may not understand it tonight, but there are three specific reasons why God has and can will give people up. Are you saying, preacher, that there's no second chances when you sin? You know, there's no second. No. We sin every day. We will sin from the day we get saved. We will sin from the day we came out of the womb to the day we get in heaven. But I want you to understand something in this study tonight. There are three specific reasons why God has and can give people up. What do you mean give people up? I'm saying where He will no longer allow the Holy Spirit to move and work in their life. And in order to be saved, and in order to be convicted of sin, the Holy Spirit must be working in our lives. But we can get so far away from God where we then start saying no to God. And my point is this, we can say no one too many times. I don't know how many times that is. God sure does. We can say no to God, the Holy Spirit, one too many times where God will say, let them go. Do not work with them anymore. That's a set, but I want to show you three specific reasons why God has and can call off the Holy Ghost. And I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, because these three specific reasons are anchored in this chapter. I want us to look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21 first, and we'll read verses 21 through 24. Look at this. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, look at this, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So, the first reason is they refuse to glorify God as God. And when a person has been brought into the light of that and they have been convicted of that, they know the truth, but they rebel against the truth and they continue to say, no. I don't know when it is. The scripture says there is a sin unto death. And the word says, don't pray that you know what it is. There's an unpardonable sin, and then there's a sin unto death. They're totally different. I don't know how many times a person can say no to the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost will stop working, but there is a stopping place. This is definite proof in the scripture of one of those reasons. But it goes on. Look at verse, let me give you reason number two. We read on verse 25 and 26. Who changed, look at this, the truth of God into a lie. You know what that means? That means you make it up. You take the word of God and you start changing it and you start rewriting it. And so let me say this. I'm not against every different version of scriptures. You just need to know that I'm not against it. I love the King James. I've been brought up in the King James. I memorize the King James. I teach out of the King James. I preach out of the King James. And I believe And by the way, the King James is a translation. It is a translation. But let me tell you why I have a problem with a lot of translations. So hear me out. Not every translation is wrong. But when you do this, who changed the truth of God into a lie, when you take this Bible and you try to make it say, let's pull just one of the many things out of the air. You try to make this Bible say, in the beginning, God created Adam and Steve. And you make that up. You make it up. Who changed the truth of God? Who knew God, but denied him? Who changed the truth of God into a lie? I could go on and on with this kind of thing tonight, but it's putrefying in the mind and the eyes of God. Who, look at this, who changed the truth of God into a lie. People who know better, who changed the truth into a lie. And then look at this, and worshiped and served the creature. Who is the creature? You and I are the creature. He's the creator. We're the creature. More than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And verse 26. For this cause, now we just read in verse number 21 through 24 why God gave people up. That was reason number one. Reason number two, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. All right, so this is reason number two, but reason number three is in verse 28. But let's read verse 27 and 28. Let's go back to the verse. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature, verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. I'm telling the church, I could say a lot about that. Burned in their lust one toward another. You know, even dogs have better sense than this. Now, if you're thinking what I'm thinking, think it. Because even dogs have better sense than this. Leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So, when you go back to Revelation 9, 20 and 21, we see these sins that these people repetitiously, just arbitrarily ignored to get right, and neither did repent of these things. And I recognize these people here are lost for eternity because God has already sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. But I bring it over to the church, and that is this. There are reasons why God has and can give people up. Now, let me tell you this. I believe he's got a long arm of compassion. And I believe that we can get ourselves into hog pens left and right, and we will find the sympathizing arms of Jesus, and he will say, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And we can keep sinning, and he can keep forgiving. But when the Holy Spirit brings conviction, and we keep refusing the Spirit, I do not know what the number is, but there is a number. You just read it here. For instance, three instances where God gave people up. So let me show you this in the Old Testament. I want you to see what God said to the Holy Spirit in Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 17. Look at this. God the Father speaks to God the Holy Spirit, and he says this, Ephraim is joined to idols. Look at this. If that don't put chills on you, God the Father said, God said to God the Holy Spirit, let him alone. Now, I don't know what number it is, but there is a place out there somewhere where the Father says to the Spirit, let him alone. And let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit has said, that's enough, you say, well, how important is that, preacher? One more scripture on this thought, and we're done. We're out of time. But I want you to see this in John 6:44. Look at this. Do you realize tonight that without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved? It's impossible. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Now, this is important because these next two words is a work of the Holy Spirit. Draw him. So unless the Holy Spirit is actively drawing, and in that drawing, he's wooing. He draws. He convicts. He convicts. And he forgives. But there is a point where we can say no, 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 one too many times. And again, church, I have no idea what that number is. I don't even know what the sin unto death is. Word tells me not to even seek it, pray for it, search for it. I believe Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts, they committed a sin unto death by lying to the Holy Spirit. Could be. Well, it's hard to believe it's after 8 o'clock. This one, you know, these two verses here. And we'll start, Lord willing, next week with chapter 10. And I hope this has been a good study for you tonight. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
You listen to Pastor Tony Cahoot. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.